potentially solving a cold case should never be a sad or depressing event.
This is the Veritas 7 True Crime Podcast with your host, Kurt Dillon.
This podcast is like nothing else out there. It's true crime, but we don't present that in a sad or morose kind of manner.
The Veritas 7 features the most interactive and immersive true crime podcasting experience ever imagined.
Our whole goal is engagement with our audience. That's before, during, and after we record each episode. The whole purpose of this show is to actually try and solve these crimes. And we use real police documents to do that.
Don't forget to like and subscribe, so you'll know right away when each new episode goes live.
This is the only true crime podcast I know of where the audience can actually help solve the crime. We are all about trying to solve these crimes. Our whole team is dedicated to uncovering the truth. That's where the name Veritas comes from.
Let's get into the action. Take it away, Kurt.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at the Veritas 7 for part two of the bizarre disappearance of Tara Calico. We are going to, in just a minute, pick up exactly right where we left off in the middle of the conversation as we're talking about the validity of the photographs that have circulated around the country and around the world, actually, since her disappearance in 1989, and get right back into the action leading up to the new revelations that have happened just within the last few months on this case, and new word that have been given out by the new sheriff of Valencia County, New Mexico. All of that is coming up right here, right now, for you, the Veritas 7. Don't go anywhere, because Veritas means truth, and part two of the truth starts now.
I can't believe the price of dog food is getting outrageous. And if I want to save a few bucks, I have to carry a 50-pound bag of kibble up the stairs into my apartment. There has to be a better way.
There is. I'm so glad you said something. You poor thing, we've been using TummyTimePetSupplies.com for over a year now.
Tummy Time Pet Supplies? What's that?
TummyTimePetSupplies.com. They have all the major brands and most smaller brands as well. In fact, we not only get all of our dog and cat supplies there, but they also have everything we need for Brett's chinchilla, Ashley's ferrets, Haley's iguana, and even Jordan's pet tarantula.
Wow, they sell all that?
And more. But what's best about TummyTimePetSupplies.com is that they ship everything through Amazon Fulfillment. That means that everything you order gets delivered right to your door, and if you're an Amazon Prime customer, shipping is almost always free.
That really sounds incredible, but I bet it's super expensive. Mark just got laid off and I can't afford all those special conveniences for a while.
Nonsense. In fact, Tummy Time offers some of the most reasonable prices anywhere. You really have to be a whiz and coupon shopping to beat their everyday prices, and when they run sales, forget about it.
I can't believe it, an incredible selection, great prices, and right to your door service. So what do you think?
I think the next time I buy anything for my pets, I'm going to TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
I think that's a very wise choice.
Me too.
That's right. For all your pet needs, it's TummyTimePetSupplies.com. Remember TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
And I think it really slowed the progress of the whole case. I mean, it basically halted after that.
It's a good way to halt one, isn't it?
This is where it starts getting even more odd. In 2009, we're going to fast forward now several years, 20 years after that Polaroid was found, there were pictures of a boy that was sent to that Port St. Joe police chief in the same town where that Polaroid was found, and two letters that were postmarked June 10th and August 10th of 2009. And they were postmarked from Albuquerque. One of the letters contained a photo, which was printed on copy paper. So it was like an inkjet, you know, when you get a thing off your camera and you burn it off on your inkjet printer. So it was a printed on copy paper photo of a young boy with sandy brown hair. And someone drew a black band using ink on the photo over the boy's mouth to kind of depict like he had tape over his mouth. And the picture, they said, kind of looked like the boy in that van photo. The second letter contained an original image, an actual photograph, not a printed one, of that same boy. On August the 12th, the newspaper there in Florida called The Star received the third letter. And that letter was also postmarked from Albuquerque and dated August the 10th. And it depicted the same image of the boy with the black marker drawn over his mouth. Again, according to the reports, that boy, they never confirmed whether it's the same one in the Polaroid photo. There's just a resemblance and the fact, of course, that somebody drew tape over his mouth.
So there was nothing in these envelopes other than the pictures?
Correct.
No letters, no wording?
They call them letters, but they don't say. It says none of the letters contained a return address or a note indicating the child's identity or making the officials there believe it may have something to do with the disappearance of Tara Calico. So again, really bad hoax when you're not at least pointing somebody's attention to where you want to deceive them. They just send the pictures of this kid with absolutely nothing. And just like, here you go. The letters were sent at, according to what they said, the letters were sent at the same time. And also a self-proclaimed psychic called the police about Calico at the same time these letters were sent, saying that she met a runaway in California and that the girl worked in a strip club and that girl was eventually murdered. That psychic caller, or the woman claiming to be a psychic, said that she had dreams about this runaway and suggested that the runaway may have been Calico and that she may be buried somewhere in California. Great psychic with the details. Fantastic. That's like saying, I feel like she's on Earth. Anyway, searches didn't lead to the body or any clues about Tara or even about that other girl. And the photographs were eventually given to the FBI for more investigation, trying to find, not trying to identify the person, but hoping to find fingerprints or DNA on the paper or on the picture or whatever the case may be. Ultimately, they didn't. However, two other Polaroid photographs now, again, possibly of Calico, turned up over the years. The first one was found near a construction site in Montecito, California. And that one is just a blurry photo of a girl's face with tape over her mouth. They linked this picture to Calico and the Calico case only because the person who's blurry in the photo happens to be sitting in front of a blue striped fabric that looks very similar to that pillow that's in the Toyota van Polaroid. So because the fabric seems to be similar to that pillow, they put two and two together and they're, you know, they try to claim that could be Tara Calico. It was also taken on film that wasn't made. It wasn't available until June of 1989. So the second photo is a picture of a woman that's loosely bound, not tightly bound, with gauze, of all things. What's more, her eyes are also covered with gauze, and she's wearing large black framed glasses. There's a male passenger beside her, and the two of them are on an Amtrak train. Now, the film that was used to make that picture wasn't commercially available or publicly available until February of 1990. Now, the girl, Tara's mother, believes that first photo with next to the pillow of the same fabric as in the thing was Tara. However, she's adamant that the second picture is a hoax. Also, Tara's aunt, the mother's sister, said that they had a striking, this is an exact quote now, they had a striking, uncalming resemblance. As for me, I will not rule them out. But keep in mind, our family has had to identify many other photographs, and all but those three were ruled out. That's what the aunt had to say about those photographs. So now, no other developments, except in 1998, a court finally declared Calico officially dead after she had been gone for almost 20 years. Or no, almost 10 years. I'm sorry, 10 years. They ruled her as being deceased. Fast forward another 10 years. And the sheriff of Valencia County, a guy named Rene Rivera, reported that he received information that two teenagers had acted back in 1989 when Tara disappeared, that two teenagers were driving and I guess playing chicken or whatever it is with Tara while she was riding her bike, and they hit her with a truck. And after hitting her with the truck, they panicked and they decided they needed to finish the job, so they killed her off. Now, according to Rivera, those boys who knew Calico, I guess from school or from the town, not a very big town, so I imagine most people in that area knew each other, at least loosely, particularly if one of them was driving a 1953 Ford pickup, but we won't go there yet because they're not mentioned in that. But the boys apparently knew Calico. They drove up behind her in a pickup truck, but this doesn't claim that it was a 53 Ford pickup truck. And somehow or another, they had an accident. And it's unclear from what they've publicly disseminated whether Calico died as a result of that accident or whether she was just badly hurt and the boys decided to kill her so that they wouldn't get caught for the accident. But either way, whether they actually ended her life intentionally after the accident or the accident ended her life, they agreed to cover up the crime. Now, Rivera, that sheriff, later stated that he knew the names of those boys, but that without a body, he didn't feel like he would be able to make a presentable enough case in court where he could get a conviction of these boys. Apparently, the evidence that he got about them hitting her with the car didn't come directly from them in the form of a confession. It came from some other person, probably as hearsay, that they supposedly told that this happened. So again, it went kind of cold. Later on, her stepfather, the father that was in the house with Tara, was not her biological father. It was a guy named John Dole. And he, not Dole like the pineapple, D-O-E-L instead of D-O-L-E. He said that the sheriff should not have made those comments and should not have ruled out charging the guys. And that if the evidence that he had was circumstantially good enough, that he should have been able to press charges against these two guys. What do you say about that, Diane?
From what you've just stated, it does not sound like enough evidence against these guys. If it's just somebody saying, hey, they told me they did it, or hey, I happen to see their banged up car.
Right. That's classic hearsay, isn't it?
Well, if... It actually would be admissible. So if it's something that a defendant said, an out-of-court statement by the actual defendant, that is admissible. So it's not really an admissibility issue. The issue is just that that's not enough evidence. You need some physical evidence that they actually did it. Do we have a dent in the car? Do we have anyone who actually saw this happen? Is there any physical evidence in the car? Was there blood? Did they have bloody clothes? They're just somebody saying, oh yeah, I think these guys did it. Where's the evidence? There's got to be more.
And right. So, well, and this is 2008 when this is happening, 20 years after she disappeared. She disappeared in 89. So it's 19 years after she disappeared.
Right. So the car that these guys had is probably long gone, probably been in the wrecking yard or sold three times. So there's got to be more evidence than that to charge them and even think about taking them to trial.
I agree with that. So then again, nothing for another 5 years after this incident with that sheriff and these boys hitting her in the car. We fast forward to 2013, and the authorities decide that they're going to form a task force. They assign six people to the task force, and they try to reinvestigate her disappearance. However, the task force stayed in force for 4 years and made no arrests. So it was disbanded in 2017. Fast forward another 2 years to October 1st, 2019. And the FBI announced all of a sudden, now 30 years after Tara's disappearance, that they're offering a reward of up to $20,000 for, get this. Now, I've never even heard this kind of wording. they're offering $20,000 for precise details that lead to the identification or location of Tara Lee Calico and information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for her disappearance. That's the most deliberately worded reward poster I've ever read.
Okay, say that again, just that one part slowly.
It says the FBI, this is an exact quote.
Okay.
The FBI is offering a reward of up to $20,000 for precise details leading to the identification or location of Tara Lee Calico and information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for her disappearance.
Precise.
So they want, they don't want to give a reward if somebody says, oh, I know that her body is out in the desert out there. It's got to be very precise. Like, give me the exact location of where we're going to find her or her body, as opposed to someone, hey, I said that she was out in the desert and you found her in the desert. It's like, no, we need, you know what I mean?
But here's the funny thing. That's not enough. Because it doesn't say or, it says and. You have to have information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for a disappearance. So knowing where she is or knowing where her body is isn't enough. You also have to know who did it and where they can find them. And if you know all of that, you can get up to $20,000.
It's definitely very cryptic.
I mean, that's, I'm sorry, that's the most janky reward poster I've ever heard. If clearly that is not going to motivate anybody to try and solve this crime.
Well, I think maybe the Valencia County Sheriff's Office probably knows who's done this. And they've got some hearsay, they've got some leads, but they can't prove it, right? They don't have Professor Plum in the library with the rope. So they've probably been calling people in and questioning people and putting heat on people. And they put this out maybe to try to shake up the bag a little bit with those people. And also maybe somebody came to them with some information that was cheesy and they wanted their money and they really wanted to clear it up and go, nobody's getting paid until we have this, this, and this.
I can't believe the price of dog food is getting outrageous. And if I want to save a few bucks, I have to carry a 50-pound bag of kibble up the stairs into my apartment. There has to be a better way.
There is. I'm so glad you said something. You poor thing, we've been using TummyTimePetSupplies.com for over a year now.
Tummy Time Pet Supplies? What's that?
TummyTimePetSupplies.com. They have all the major brands and most smaller brands as well. In fact, we not only get all of our dog and cat supplies there, but they also have everything we need for Brett's chinchilla, Ashley's ferrets, Haley's iguana, and even Jordan's pet tarantula.
Wow, they sell all that?
And more. But what's best about TummyTimePetSupplies.com is that they ship everything through Amazon Fulfillment. That means that everything you order gets delivered right to your door, and if you're an Amazon Prime customer, shipping is almost always free.
That really sounds incredible, but I bet it's super expensive. Mark just got laid off and I can't afford all those special conveniences for a while. Nonsense. In fact, Tummy Time offers some of the most reasonable prices anywhere. You really have to be a whiz and coupon shopping to beat their everyday prices, and when they run sales, forget about it.
I can't believe it, an incredible selection, great prices, and right to your door service. So what do you think?
I think the next time I buy anything for my pets, I'm going to TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
I think that's a very wise choice.
Me too.
That's right. For all your pet needs, it's TummyTimePetSupplies.com. Remember, TummyTimePetSupplies.com.
Thanks for tuning in. We know you have a choice and appreciate that you've chosen the Veritas 7. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and post a rating for the show before you go. Those metrics are really important for us. And if it's within your means to help us carry on our mission to revitalize these cold cases, please consider becoming one of our sponsors by visiting patreon.com/theveritas7 and signing up for any of our three available tiers of sponsorship. Each one provides a ton of extra content, like message chatting with our hosts in real time while we're recording, or even being able to call in voicemails to the show that we'll play on the air. Thanks again for being such an awesome listener. Now back to the show.
Well, and here's the point. I think you're dead on, and I'll tell you why. Fast forward again another 2 years to 2021, and the Valencia County Sheriff's Office and the New Mexico State Police now together. Now, the first, that last wanted poster or reward poster was issued by the FBI. Screw the feds. Now we're going back. We're taking it state now. Okay. In September of 2021, the Valencia County Sheriff's Office and the New York and the New Mexico State Police issue a statement saying that they have a new lead in the case and that the focus of a sealed warrant for an unknown private residence located within Valencia County has been issued. However, no other details are provided. Now, that's freaky. So that tells me, and I would love to hear your take on this, Diane, that tells me they're trying to shake the tree and see how many nuts fall. So you're putting out a cryptic message that says, we know who you are, and we have a warrant to search your house, but we're not serving it yet. So they're trying to monitor somebody to make a move, maybe to lead them to her body, to move it, or to make sure it's still, you know, buried where they buried it, or whatever the case may be. Is that what that sounds like to you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit unusual. I don't know if I've ever heard of another case where they refer to a warrant under seal. Typically, when you have a situation like that, the warrant has already been served, but they're trying to keep the affidavit under seal so that the public doesn't yet know what information they had leading up to it. But they don't usually announce that, hey, we have this warrant, but we haven't served it yet. So I'm wondering, did they actually serve it and do a search of a residence? Because I thought I read that a residence had actually been searched.
Later, but not for another 2 years. Now, this is what's crazy. This is a sealed warrant. Like you said, very odd predicament, very odd situation. It gets even more odd when you realize we're talking about a 30-year-old case and it wasn't a child. You know, usually you hear about sealed warrants and sealed indictments when you're talking about child sex trafficking and like all that kind of stuff.
Well, it can be sealed, too, if you don't want some of your leads coming out. There are certain situations where you might keep something sealed. You don't want to tip off somebody. It doesn't necessarily just have to do with children, or you don't want the information getting public yet because maybe only the killer would know something. And if you release the information, then you might have copycats. You can't tell for sure if someone's providing the information that they're the killer. But what's odd about this is that you could even get a search warrant this many years later, because how can you prove to a judge that this evidence you want is currently at this location many years later?
That was the next point I was going to bring up, is what judge is going to say, what evidence are you going to claim is in this house 30 years after the fact? I mean, you could have done helter skelter in that house with her body. 30 years later, there isn't going to be any trace of it.
Unless the one thing that you said that rings true, perhaps, is that someone buried her body on the property. And that is going to be very difficult to, someone's watching your property. How on earth do you dig something up without everyone seeing what you're doing?
Right. Well, and that's what made me think, like I posed the question to you, maybe they suspected, and rather than digging up the property and all this other kind of stuff, they were hoping by releasing that announcement, they would scare the guilty party into trying to dig her up and move her body.
Right.
Absolutely. They think, you know, Jimmy and Bobby did this, and they released this deal saying, hey, we got a search warrant, but no details. They're watching Jimmy and Bobby. They're listening to their phone calls. They're tracking them, watching every move they make, trying to get them to do something stupid.
Right. Because
this whole thing's a scare tactic.
Yeah. If their witness told them that Jimmy and Bobby had Tara's body buried in the backyard, well, by shaking the tree and saying, we already have a warrant to search the house, especially if Jimmy and Bobby ain't the brightest folk in the room, you might panic them enough to go dig up her bones and try taking them someplace else.
Right.
So if you're watching the house, you got them now.
Right. And that's the way you get the conviction, because if you just serve the warrant and you find a body, it may be very hard to prove who buried her there, even if these guys live there then.
Right.
The defense could be, hey, anyone could have done this.
Absolutely.
They're trying to get them to text each other, call each other, meet in a parking lot somewhere.
Absolutely. All that go, crap, hey, that has leaves a trail. Absolutely.
Hey, man, what are we going to do?
Right. Absolutely. They can get some kind of a tap on their phone or exactly.
Yeah.
On their text.
And really, and all that warrant could be, you guys know more about this than me, but that warrant could just be four taps, right?
No, this specifically says that the warrant is for a residence.
Could be a phone. Do you have to get a warrant to tap phones?
Yes.
Yes.
That could be all that is.
It's a different kind of warrant. It's not your typical search warrant.
This says specifically that it is a sealed warrant for an unknown private residence located within Valencia County, and that the warrant has in fact already been issued.
Right. I think it's what you guys are saying. I agree with you.
That's what it seems like to me. Because you said, why would you make that public? If this was real big, you know, you were worried about like mob hits, or the only time I have ever seen, again, you know better than me because you've dealt with them, but the only time I've ever seen sealed warrants like that where there's all this expediency, there's no expediency on a case that's 30 years old. She's not going to get any more dead. She's at this point, she's been ruled dead for 14 years. So, I mean, if the people didn't beat feet and flee the state and flee the country or whatever, in 30 years, they're probably not going to in the next 30 days. So, you know, there's got to be a reason for putting that statement out there. Otherwise, just shut up and keep it to yourself.
They need a little bit more evidence. They need a little bit more proof, and they're trying to shake it out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're giving the guys enough rope to hang themselves.
Right. And apparently they did.
Yes, because but not for 2 years. Now, this is where I think this is great. It took 2 years, but on June the 13th, almost a full 2 years after the Valencia County Sheriff's Office made that statement. Again, the Valencia County Sheriff's Office announced a breakthrough in the 1988 disappearance. And Sheriff, now it's a female, Sheriff Denise Vigil, an other law enforcement officer, spoke at a press conference regarding the Calico case. And this is the exact quote from Sheriff Denise. At this time, law enforcement believes there is sufficient evidence to submit this investigation to the district attorney's office for review of potential charges. Currently, the identities and specifics of the persons of interest are sealed by the court and will remain so until a court order otherwise. Once again, why? What in the world, 30 years after the case, why would you be protecting the identity of the people that you're going after?
It seems that they're waiting to make sure that the DA is willing to bring charges.
Yeah, the DA wants something. They need something. They need the car. They need a...
Is Valencia County worried that the people that they suspect are going to Richard Jewell them and come back and be like, you defamed me and ruined my life by accusing me of this crime and I didn't do it? If they don't actually get charged and convicted?
Right. That's what I'm wondering. If they get accused of this crime and then the DA's office doesn't actually proceed with the case. But why make the announcement?
That's my point. They accuse people every day that they don't end up charging. They bring people in front of a grand jury. They announce that they're trying to indict them or whatever the case may be. And they announce their names. And they do that on a regular basis to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. The only other thing that makes sense to me is that this case is politically charged. The people that they believe are responsible are some kind of like governor's son or some kind of senator's nephew. Or something like that.
I never thought about that.
That's the only other thing that makes sense to me in this, is that there's got to be some high jingo here.
Would it be the same if it was the parents?
Yeah, I was wondering that.
In order to know that, we would have to live in Valencia County.
Well, I know their mother has passed away.
Right.
I believe so, too. So they're not going against charges against her, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right. And the stepfather, I mean, he's got to be 90-something. You know, he's got to be old as dirt. Tara would be 53 now, so he's got to be, you know, 73 at least, you know, somewhere around there.
It's just so odd to make the announcement at all that we know who did it, and we are submitting the evidence to the DA's office to make a determination whether they want to charge the people. Like, why even say that? Why not wait and see if the DA's office charges? So much time has passed. What's another month or two?
I agree.
I still think they're waiting for Tim and Bobby to call each other and say, hey, man, oh, shit.
Right.
They're waiting for a phone call or something.
Even more evidence, right? Even more, even a bigger reaction than they may have already gotten. Like, oh, my God.
Or are they trying to claim that maybe somebody got her and sold her into, like, sex trafficking, and they're trying to break up some bigger ring? Personally, the gut feeling that I get, and again, I'm no psychic, but the gut feeling that I get is that the people that they believe did this and are responsible for it have some kind of political affiliation. They're somebody important's son or grandson, and they just don't want to put the name out there and smear them till, you know, they have an indictment in hand. But that being said, once again, why make the announcement? The only reason why you make the announcement is because you're trying to shake the tree and you're trying to get them to do something that incriminates themselves.
Have you reached out for FOIA reports on this?
No.
I was just going to ask that.
Nope, I haven't yet. And I don't have any experience, believe it or not, reaching out for FOIA in New Mexico. So it's either going to be hit or miss. But since this was only June 13th when this case supposedly heated up, I can tell you right now they're not going to give me crap.
Right, it's an ongoing investigation.
And it's a hot ongoing investigation. This isn't a cold case anymore. They just brought it right back into the realm of hot, hot, hot. So I honestly don't believe, you know, I'll get some stuff, this stuff that's in the public. But as far as, like, you know, the good stuff, like that new warrant, well, that's never going to happen. They're not going to give me anything that's involved in the new and ongoing investigation of the case. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this case shakes out. It's interesting to know this is one of the cases that we're dealing with that has some real right now kind of juju going on. So it's exciting to see how long, although I'm not going to hold my breath because every other time they've made an announcement, it's been 2 years before anything happened. So, if it holds track, we might know something about this case somewhere around Christmas of 2025.
You have to look up Denise Vigil and see when she's running for re-election.
Good point.
Maybe that's the 2-year gap every time.
Good point. Because the last one there.
Because they're all in the fall, October, September.
Yeah, that's true. But Rivera, the last one from Valencia County, that was 2008. That was a long time ago. In between 2008 and 2021, it was all the feds. And that's another thing. Diane, when was the last time you know of a Fed case that they turn it back to the state?
Well, in a case like this, it's not necessarily a Fed case, but the FBI will come in and help with the investigation in cases that end up being state cases, where they have the resources to try to crack a case that's complicated. Or
do they do that at the state's request, or do they just do it on their own accord?
I think it would
be... I was thinking, what would make this federal because of the Florida connection with the picture? How does the FBI get tied into it?
I don't think that this would be a federal case. If she was killed in New Mexico, unless it was some kind of sex trafficking case and they brought her across state lines, that sort of a case, then maybe that would be federal. But there are plenty of cases where the FBI does come in. I believe they offer their assistance. Hey, do you need help? We have way more resources than the sheriffs would in New Mexico, trying to analyze these photos, trying to track down leads, maybe doing some kind of whatever forensic testing they could do. I don't know what kind of forensic testing could have been done in this case where she just vanished. But I don't think the FBI comes in and tries to step on toes, but they do come in and help with investigations, even if it's a state case.
Yeah, the only time I've, unless it's a child. Now, I know that this the National Center for Missing and Exploiting Children, they get involved in child missing part. They do the Amber Alerts and all that kind of stuff. And the FBI usually comes in that situation. But as far as I know, for an adult, when an adult disappears, the FBI has to be invited. They can offer assistance, like Diane said. But as far as I know, until they become actively involved in the case, in order for them to become actively involved in the case, they have to be invited.
I believe that's true because it's not their jurisdiction. There's not a federal crime here that I can see that they would be investigating.
Right. And clearly they were investigating it because of they that reward of up to $20,000 for precise details. That, you know what I mean? Basically, solve the case for us and we might give you up to 20 grand.
Right.
But we want to know where the body is. We want the people who did it, how they did it, when they did it. Professor Plum in the library with the lead pipe, and it's over.
I think it suggests that they've gotten a lot of vague tips from people, and they're trying to make sure they get some very specific information instead of perhaps people coming forward with these vague tales of, oh, these guys hit her with their car. And it's like, no, we want specifics. We want specifics that are going to lead to her body and specifics that are going to lead to the actual arrest, enough evidence to actually arrest someone. Don't just come in and tell us these vague stories.
Well, and something tells me that that's the actual story. They haven't been able to pin it on anybody yet, but something tells me that's actually what happened.
The picture of that Walkman tape would tend to support that. That just doesn't look to me like it flew out of her Walkman when she was riding her bike. It just looks like it hit the ground with such force that to me, it looks like perhaps she got hit while she was riding her bike and the whole thing went flying and it hit the ground with such force that it caused that kind of damage to the tape.
Right. I agree. Well, and the tape didn't really look that badly damaged, just had a lot of dirt on it. But they said the Walkman was pretty banged up. And those things were pretty tough. You really, you know, you had to kick the crap out of that thing to break it. The door would fly open on it all the time, and sometimes the door would actually come off. There were plenty of kids in the schoolyard that had Walkmans that had no door on it because the door was crap. So, you know, that door would come off all the time, but the tape looks like it's in pretty good condition there. It's just dirty, which could have happened if they were struggling, you know, after they hit her with the car. If that story's true, they hit her with the car and then they're checking to see and she's moaning and they're all fussing around. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then they decide they're going to choke her out or they're going to, you know, stick her in the neck with a buck knife or who knows? I don't know. But something tells me because Valencia County Sheriff's Department are the ones that are acting on this still. And they're the ones that got the report of these two guys that supposedly hit her with the pickup truck and then didn't know what to do and killed her and got rid of the body and all of that. It just rings true to me that that's probably what happened. And it's just taken them this long to prove it. So now they're going through the process of with the DA, you know, are we going to charge these guys? Are we going to convict them? And are we going to be able to prove it? I would think if it's gotten as far as it has, if they really have gotten a search warrant, they've got some kind of probable cause to believe they did it. Otherwise, they got a judge that's owned.
Right. Unless she's buried in one of their yards.
Right.
It seems like it's going to be a tough case. But if they proceed against someone, hopefully they do have some good evidence.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting again to see how this all shakes out.
I can't believe the price of dog food is getting outrageous. And if I want to save a few bucks, I have to carry a 50-pound bag of kibble up the stairs into my apartment. There has to be a better way.
There is. I'm so glad you said something. You poor thing, we've been using TummyTimePetSupplies.com for over a year now.
Tummy Time Pet Supplies? What's that?
TummyTimePetSupplies.com. They have all the major brands and most smaller brands as well. In fact, we not only get all of our dog and cat supplies there, but they also have everything we need for Brett's chinchilla, Ashley's ferrets, Haley's iguana, and even Jordan's pet tarantula.
Wow, they sell all that?
And more.
But what's best about TummyTimePetsupplies.com is that they ship everything through Amazon Fulfillment. That means that everything you order gets delivered right to your door, and if you're an Amazon Prime customer, shipping is almost always free. That really sounds incredible, but I bet it's super expensive. Mark just got laid off and I can't afford all those special conveniences for a while. Nonsense. In fact, Tummy Time offers some of the most reasonable prices anywhere. You really have to be a whiz and coupon shopping to beat their everyday prices, and when they run sales, forget about it. I can't believe it, an incredible selection, great prices, and right to your door service. So what do you think?
I think the next time I buy anything for my pets, I'm going to TummyTimePetsupplies.com.
I think that's a very wise choice.
Me too.
That's right. For all your pet needs, it's TummyTimePetsupplies.com. Remember TummyTimePetsupplies.com.
Thanks for tuning in. We know you have a choice and appreciate that you've chosen the Veritas 7. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and post a rating for the show before you go. Those metrics are really important for us. And if it's within your means to help us carry on our mission to revitalize these cold cases, please consider becoming one of our sponsors by visiting patreon.com/theveritas7 and signing up for any of our three available tiers of sponsorship. Each one provides a ton of extra content, like message chatting with our hosts in real time while we're recording, or even being able to call in voicemails to the show that we'll play on the air. Thanks again for being such an awesome listener. Now back to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this teaser episode of the Veritas 7's presentation. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, this is just a teaser. You definitely want to look for our Gifted Insights episode pertaining to this case, as well as our Uncensored episode pertaining to this case. Again, Gifted Insights episodes are all featuring our amazing resident psychic, Gina Nisanoff, and her take on what she thinks about each one of the cases that we go through. So you definitely don't want to miss a single episode of Gifted Insights with Gina and I. And you'd certainly want to keep on the lookout for the Prime episodes when it comes to this and all of our other cases. That's the meat of our entire investigation. Six chapters ranging from victimology to the verdict. We go over every step of the case and break it down for you and present it in a way that hopefully at the end can lead to our nomination for an indictment against a specific suspect or suspects. So again, nobody does it quite the way we do. We hope you enjoy the way we present it to you. We also want to encourage everybody to go and join our Facebook discussion group so that you can get in the conversation and weigh in on the verdict. We are all about interactivity here. It is facebook.com/groups/TheVeritas7. Go and join, then link in to one of the chat rooms that we have there and get involved with not only our staff, but also with other listeners like yourself who are fascinated by these cases and want to talk about them as we present. Quick reminder, if you like the content and you enjoy the show, please, please remember to rate the show, like it, and subscribe to it. Those metrics, you know, they only take a couple of seconds on your part, but they really mean a lot to us as far as our metrics and our advertisers and our sponsors and things like that. So please, if you like the show, remember to take a minute or two and go and rate, like, and subscribe to the show. It really means a lot to us. For all of us here at the Veritas 7, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you. This show is all about you. Have a great night. God bless. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
So turn the car around and leave. Meet me underneath the tree inside the valley that we made. And with our hands we'll make the best of the life that we have left. And we will never say goodbye. Time don't stop. around and leave. Meet me underneath the tree inside the valley that we made. And with our hands we'll make the best of the life that we have left. And we will never say goodbye. And if we do, we'll meet again. Knowing love was heaven sent, and I've never felt this way.